Congress shall make no law, no law, which in any way abridges the freedom of religion, or establish religion on its own in the great U.S. of A. So says clearly and unequivocally and unconditionally the First Amendment of our beloved Constitution. No law. No law at all, and don't abridge freedom of religion, Congress. But along the way of our America's storied history, there have been any number of attempts to limit or even forbid the free exercise of religion. Most have failed, thank God, but some have managed to survive, like the Blaine Amendment. Have you ever heard of that? Google it. Look it up and read it. Fascinating anti-Catholic amendment. Hard to believe in this day and age. In any event, that Blaine Amendment has survived in several of our states, including the great state of Colorado. And that amendment was passed as far back as the 1800s. And it has survived without challenge since then, at least in Colorado. The very sad aspect of the Blaine Amendment was that it was anti-Catholic in purpose, but it was used in many ways to thwart the religious activities of virtually any religious entity. That was clearly unconstitutional, but since this draconian law was never enforced or applied to current facts, it just stayed on the books. But then there was another type and kind of well-sounding constitutional language, which, when misapplied, would result in unconstitutional discrimination against churches and religious entities. That constitutional language and its misapplication occurred in the great state of Missouri. Missouri. The state constitution providing that no money shall ever be taken from the public treasury, directly or indirectly, in aid of any church, sect, or denomination, or religion. That sounds good. Sounds constitutional, does it not? But when it is misapplied, it can well result in discrimination, as it was in the case of Trinity Lutheran Church versus Comer in the state of Missouri. In that case, the state had a program which was known as the Playground Scrap Tire Surface Material Grant. Quite a mouthful, isn't it? The Playground Scrap Tire Surface Material Grant, providing such grants to schools that resurface their playgrounds with material made from recycled tires. Apparently, no churches need apply. But Trinity Lutheran Church did so apply for that grant. And of some 45 applicants for state funding, the church application was rated 5th in terms of merit. Isn't that great? Nonetheless, any grant even for a playground was denied by the state because the applicant was a religious institution, a church. No matter the fact that no money would be used for proselytizing, converting, or otherwise influencing theologically anyone who played on the playground with respect to Lutheran theology. None of it at all. The playground was open to any in pursuit of charitable and philanthropic purposes. The Missouri Supreme Court said, "No way. No way, Trinity Lutheran. You can't have our money." And the church appealed to the United States Supreme Court, which decided the matter in June. Trinity Lutheran Church claimed that the federal constitutional right to free exercise of religion prevailed, and that the state of Missouri was forcing it to choose between its faith and its eligibility for the resurfacing program and the funding which went with it. In a 7-2 decision, 7-2, the Supreme Court overturned a Missouri policy that discriminated against the church simply because of its religious character. And it reversed the decision and sent it back to Missouri for compliance with the new ruling. In essence, the court's decision said the following: when the government announces competitive programs to the public, including the improvement of facilities to foster public health and safety and security, it must allow religious communities to compete on the basis of merit for those benefits. Isn't that good news? Churches can compete. It is, the Supreme Court said, an unconstitutional violation of religious freedom to pressure religious communities to renounce their beliefs by threatening to exclude them from competition. The church won, and so did religious freedom. Thank the Lord. The ruling applies, of course, to all religious entities, including those of the Jewish faith. And that's a good thing. The Union of Orthodox Jewish Congregations stated in its amicus brief to the Supreme Court in support of Trinity Lutheran Church that, when it comes to health, safety, security, and sustainability, religious institutions deserve the same legislative protections afforded all other institutions. Amen to that. And indeed they do, constitutionally so, in every way possible. Level the playing field and give any entity, or even individual for that matter, the opportunity to constitutionally compete for federal and state funding when it becomes available. That's the Constitution. Churches should be able to serve the needs of all Americans through their facilities as any other entity would, don't you think? At the crux of its Trinity Lutheran opinion, the Supreme Court of the United States observed that the government's position puts Trinity Lutheran to a choice. It may, the church may, participate in an otherwise available benefit program or remain a religious institution. That, the court said, is constitutionally unacceptable. You can't put a church to that kind of choice. No public funding, federal, state, or local, should ever force a religious entity to forsake its purpose as a religious institution. Amen to that. The Free Exercise Clause of the First Amendment bars the government from forcing religious entities to choose between freely exercising their religion and being involved in the public square. Interestingly, 7 of the 9 Supreme Court justices voted in favor. 7 out of 9! Which many feel is a great victory for the First Amendment and freedom of religion. Boy, I sure do, don't you? Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the opinion for the Supreme Court in Trinity Lutheran Church v. Comer. The Roberts opinion stops short of the wholesale redefinition of church-state separation that religious advocates supporting the case had wanted. The Roberts opinion, joined by other justices, comprehended the specific facts of this case and nothing larger, namely funding applications for playgrounds and anything similar to playgrounds, but no more. Chief Justice Roberts noted in a footnote to the case that the court did not address religious uses of funding or other forms of discrimination. Well, that sure leaves a lot on the table, does it not? So that the Trinity Lutheran Church decision, no matter the dissent, left open so many issues of church-state relationships, and they must be decided in future cases. Again, I really think that's unfortunate, providing a certain specific clarity on the one hand, but confusion with respect to other forms of discrimination. What does that mean against churches and religious entities in the future? More litigation coming up. 7 Supreme Court justices voted in favor for this narrow interpretation of the result. They were, most interestingly, Chief Justice John Roberts, Clarence Thomas, Neil Gorsuch, Anthony Kennedy, Samuel Alito, Helena Kagan, and Stephen Breyer. Breyer and Kagan are, of course, liberal justices, and it was somewhat surprising that each voted in favor of Trinity Lutheran Church. The only opposing justices were perhaps the most liberal on the court anyway, and they are Justice Sonia Sotomayor and Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, dyed-in-the-wool liberals. And of course, they voted against the church and the result in this case. Conservative Justices Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch participated in the result of the case, but explicitly rejected Chief Justice Roberts' footnote, which again stated that the Trinity Lutheran Church v. Comer case did not address religious issues of funding or other forms of discrimination. Thomas and Gorsuch rejected that. In other words, the court's decision should be narrowly interpreted and applied only to the facts of this case or anything similar thereto. Thomas and Gorsuch said that's wrong. That's not right. That's not constitutional. They favored, these two justices, a much broader decision in favor of the church, and they stated the following. The Constitution guarantees the free exercise of religion, not just the right to inward belief or status. Free, unadulterated, unconditional exercise of religion. In short, the justices would take a very broad and unconditional view of the constitutional guarantee of the right to the free exercise of religion, without restriction. No restrictions. Apparently, other Supreme Court justices disagreed. And without individual comment, Supreme Court Justices Kennedy, Alito, and Kagan joined the Roberts opinion, but again, without comment, agreeing with the narrow interpretation view. Justice Stephen Breyer agreed with a result on the playground subsidy and the right of the church to apply for and receive state funding, but wrote a separate opinion to stress the fact that he viewed the decision as applying only to a general program designed to secure or to improve the health and safety of children, leaving other kinds of public benefits for another day. There it is again. More litigation to come, according to Justice Breyer. So that, again, in Breyer's view, any other kind of public benefit, any other kind, which might go to a church or religious entity from state funds other than any general program which was designed to secure or improve the health and safety of children, no matter how meritorious or constitutional, would need to be decided by the courts at another time, based on the facts of that particular matter. Conservatives and advocates of unbridled religious freedom and the exercise thereof were, of course, disappointed in such a concurring opinion. Nonetheless, Breyer voted with the majority and in favor of the church, and that's a good thing, because Justice Stephen Breyer is very, very liberal. And again, two liberal justices dissented, Sonia Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Justice Sotomayor penned a dissenting opinion to the Roberts opinion, actually reading that opinion from the bench, and it went as follows. History, she said, history shows that the religion clauses separate the public treasury from religious coffers as one measure to secure the kind of freedom of conscience that benefits both religion and government. Well, that's her point of view. Her interpretation of the Constitution. I don't know that history really shows that, but she thinks it does. In short, the Sotomayor opinion would totally separate governmental, public funds from any religious entity, none whatsoever, whether church or not, if to grant such funds to a church for any purpose, including playgrounds, would even indirectly benefit a religious organization. Of course, there's some remote indirect benefit to the church, but it's much more so in the public interest and for the public good and safety and welfare. But Justice Ginsburg agreed with Sotomayor. Interesting indeed, is it not, how divided our United States Supreme Court can be, and that nine justices can render four different opinions, four, with respect to the result in the Trinity Lutheran Church case. You can be certain, my fellow Americans, that the next religious freedom or First Amendment case which the Supreme Court decides will also result in various opinions and differences, no matter the facts. And that's so to the chagrin of religious freedom advocates, and especially conservatives. The broader, unconditional issue of religion is, in fact, some ways uncertain. It still is, and perhaps will be reinterpreted again and again. I sure hope and pray that's not the case, but it looks like it will be. More work to do, my fellow Americans, and conservatives, and Christians, and people of faith, in order to make certain that this precious right never goes away. The Trinity Lutheran Church was the first opportunity for new Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch to weigh in, and for us, we the people, to really learn how he thinks, more importantly, how he decides. Gorsuch wrote that the Constitution guarantees the free exercise of religion, not just the right to inward belief or status. Amen to that. That's exactly what it guarantees. The free exercise anywhere and in the public square. In short, this freedom cannot be circumscribed or abridged in any way. That includes no unfair distribution or granting of public funds, federal or state. If Justice Gorsuch had written the opinion, this case would have been decided upon the principle of an entire and complete redefinition of church and state separation, so deeply desired by religious advocates. And that would have been the real and ultimate victory. But, as with the Affordable Care Act, the Roberts Court and his opinion stop short of dealing with general principles and deciding on a narrow factual basis. I wonder if Justice Roberts wants more litigation to come. And hear more opinions from Justice Neil Gorsuch, who stated some very interesting things in his concurring but differing opinion from Justice Roberts. Gorsuch said the following: does a religious man say grace before dinner? Or does a man begin his meal in a religious manner? Is it a religious group that built the playground? Or did a group build the playground so it might be used to advance a religious mission? I don't see why, Gorsuch said. I don't see why it should matter whether we describe that benefit, Missouri state funding, as closed to Lutherans or closed to people who do Lutheran things. It is free exercise of religion either way. Either way, it's constitutional. In short, it's not the court's business to try to separate and segregate religious factors, which can be intertwined with state funding in a constitutional way. It doesn't matter if the people who own, built, and refurbished with state funding are Lutheran and do Lutheran things. That doesn't matter. It seems as though Gorsuch is saying that even if the playground in usage provides some indirect or even remote benefit to the Lutheran Church, such a benefit is not discrimination, and it is certainly not, in his view, unconstitutional. Good to go! That, of course, was the broader interpretation of the Free Exercise Clause, which so many conservatives and religious advocates wanted. In other words, Justice Gorsuch, joining with Justice Clarence Thomas, clearly states that the court's playground decisions should be understood broadly, because jurisprudence must be governed by general principles, not mere specifics. And to that end, Gorsuch stated the following: the general principles here do not permit discrimination against religious exercise, whether on the playground or anywhere else. No discrimination. All 50 states, no discrimination, and especially Missouri, against religious entities, none. Fortunately, there have been other religious freedom victories. In the state of Montana, a state ruling that prevented a voucher program from being used at religious schools was overturned. The Georgia Supreme Court unanimously upheld a program of tax credits for scholarships to some 13,000 students to attend private schools. And that includes religious schools. Way to go, Georgia. Another win at the state level for the First Amendment. But the battle rages on, my fellow Americans. It is far from over. There are some nasty atheists out there who are coming after the church, and they want to eviscerate this First Amendment freedom. There are many of them in our very own country, anti-religious, anti-Judeo-Christian, wanting and aggressively fighting to get all such out of the public square and confined to the four walls of a church. We, as people of faith, and in fact all true constitutional Americans, must never let that happen, never. We are a nation, said our founding fathers, a nation founded upon the principles of religion and morality. That was George Washington. We're founded upon religion and morality, our first president said, with a strong belief in Almighty God as the creator of the universe, the very one endowing our great country and its constitution with the inalienable rights of our constitution, and especially our beloved First Amendment. That was George Washington. So, we who follow on after this great man must protect and defend that at all costs. I, for one, am in the fray, and I pray you are as well. Perhaps the most important words in our entire Constitution and its 27 amendments are as follows. Congress shall make no law, Congress, no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. And that goes for all 50 states as well. Those are the unconditional words of that amendment. the unconditional words of the very first amendment to the Constitution. Perhaps we can say that our founding fathers regarded that as the first and most important freedom. Maybe they did. They gave it to us some 241 years ago. 241 years ago. Oh, shame on us. Shame on us if we let that precious freedom become eroded, much less eliminated. If we the people let that happen, it will be gone forever, as President Ronald Reagan reminded us time and again when he told us, freedom, once lost, is gone forever. Please don't let that happen, my fellow Americans. Please don't let that happen.